application is case number 11190. The application of Charles and Betty Limer. I apologize if I said that wrong. Take a second here till we get clear.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Again, this is case number 11190, the application of Charles and Betty Limer. I hope I didn't say that wrong.
Limer's the name.
Limer, okay.
Yes, sir.
I always get it wrong.
Okay.
Site is south of Route 54 Lighthouse Road, west of Tyler Avenue, being Cape Windsor Development, being identified as tax map ID 5-33, map 20.18, parcel 69, requesting a variance from the side yard and rear yard setback requirement. More specifically, the variance of 5 feet on the side yard from the front of part 10, and a 5-foot variance from the 20-foot rear yard setback for a porch. That rear yard is on a lagoon. The survey is attached to your information having the packet. No letter for or against the application. And just in the general vicinity of this site, there was a side yard variance rejected in 2003, a side yard variance rejected in 2005. The parcel numbers were, one was immediately adjacent and one was two lots from this site. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang? Okay, none. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Okay. Charles Limer, Sr., 357-28 Egret Road.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
You can have a seat right there. Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I actually work for Mr. Willard, who just appeared before you. I do have one question before I start. Mr. Lank, you said there were two variances that were denied. Have there been variances approved?
I didn't find any on this block.
On this block?
Yeah, I was just looking at lots in the immediate vicinity.
Okay.
So I was just, like I said, I was adjacent. I was two lots away from.
Okay. Oh, for the record, again, I represent the applicant, Mr. and Mrs. Charles. I got to make sure I pronounce it correctly, too. Limer.
Limer.
Limer. We had a discussion out front where he was trying to pronounce my name, and I was trying to pronounce his name, and we had quite a conversation. This is an application for a 5-foot side yard variance and a 5-foot rear yard variance for lot 41 in Cape Windsor. I know you're familiar with Cape Windsor. It's located on the south side of Route 54, just west of Fenwick Island. The applicant had a prior application before the board seeking side yard variances on both the north and the south side yard, and also on the rear, that was before the board in November, and that was denied by the board by a 3-2 vote. And in making that decision, the board suggested that the applicant go back to the drawing board regarding the site design. So basically, that's what was done. And this application proposes a significantly different site plan, which is less complex than the original application and more in conformity with the existing homes in Cape Windsor. The lot in question is 50 feet wide. It's 88 and a half feet deep. It contains 4,425 square feet. The lot fronts on Tyler Avenue. And as Mr. Lank stated, it borders a lagoon on the rear. I wasn't aware of this, but Cape Windsor has somewhat unique county setback requirements as compared to other developments. The front yard setback is only 5 feet. The side yard setbacks are 10 feet each, and the rear yard setback, or in this case, the lagoon, is a 20-foot setback. I submitted some exhibits, which I believe has been handed out to you, and if I can just kind of review those with you briefly. Exhibit A is just an aerial photo showing Cape Windsor. You can see on there the lot marked with an X is the applicant's lot. Again, as you know, Cape Windsor is fully developed, and it's a fairly dense residential development. Exhibit B is that same picture, just blown up, again, showing this site location. Exhibit C is the revised site plan. And you can see from the site plan, basically the applicant intends to remove the existing home they have on the property and replace that with a new residence. The exhibit shows the new residence with a 5.4 setback on the south side or the left side. That would result in a 4.6 foot variance, actually, instead of 5 foot. On the north side, you can see that the full 10 foot side yard setback is provided. And you can see that all steps and HVAC units are all located outside of the required setback. And you can also see that the main structure itself is actually 14.2 feet from the side. The front is showing a 13.5 foot setback. As I mentioned, actually only 5 foot is required there. By having a greater setback here, it provides basically keeping the new house off the road somewhat, and it provides area for parking and landscaping. And the rear, again, is showing a porch, which would be 15 feet from the bulkhead or the lagoon. And again, that is resulting in a 5 foot variance request. I do want to note that the front of the house is actually 8.5 feet further back than would be permitted with the 5 foot setback. So even with the 5 foot variance that's being requested in the rear, the actual building envelope is not being increased. In other words, it's staying this. We're not creating more space to build it. By moving it back, we're just sliding it back, but the actual footprint is not greater than would be required by the setbacks. The 5 foot variance on the rear, it has no negative impact on any neighbors to the rear because obviously there aren't any neighbors to the rear. There's a lagoon that separates this street from the next street over. The 4.6 foot side yard variance requested on the south side, it basically will permit a home of the style and size existing on other lots in Cape Windsor to be placed here. And we believe that it's consistent with other variances that have been granted in Cape Windsor. I will state that the board has noted in other variance applications in Cape Windsor that the lots in Cape Windsor are unique in size as measured against the ability to allow for modern replacement structures since Cape Windsor was originally intended for mobile homes. As a result, the county records that I checked indicate that there have been over 100 variance applications approved in Cape Windsor. And if you look at Exhibit D on what I submitted, Exhibit D, I just highlighted Tyler Avenue. The lot in yellow is the applicant's lot. The lots that are marked in red show lots where similar variances have been granted on Tyler Avenue. In total, there's been approximately 22 variances granted. From the records that I checked, I think you can see that, again, running from east or north to south, several of them have been granted right in the vicinity of the applicant's property. So in summary, the board has noted on prior applications in Cape Windsor that these lots are unique in terms of size and the ability to allow for modern replacement structures. The difficulty with these lots was created by the original layout of the development and the evolution of Cape Windsor from being basically a trailer or mobile home development into a more traditional residential community. Because of the wide range of dwelling sizes that already exist in development, the variance would not alter the essential character of Cape Windsor. And specifically as to our application, again, the practical difficulty is due to the uniqueness of Cape Windsor, and the variance is needed for the reasonable use of the property in a similar manner as other lots and homes in the community. Again, it was not created by the applicant, but by the original layout of the development. The variances requested are the minimum necessary for the reasonable use of the property, a 5-foot rear and a 4.6-foot south side variance. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And in fact, I would suggest that the variance would really allow this property to be used in conformity with the essential character of the neighborhood. And again, referring to my Exhibit D, variances have been granted on the four adjacent lots to the south of the applicant's lot. Variance has been granted to the lot, two lots removed to the north, and there's been five variances granted across the street. All those lots are similar size to the applicant's lot. I believe that this application conforms to the legal requirements for approval. It's consistent with the nature of the development in Cape Windsor and the precedent that basically has been set with other variances. I will say, I know you all are familiar with it. I hadn't been in Cape Windsor in a long time, but I drove down there. I always drive down and look at a property if I have an application on it to make sure I'm familiar with it. Cape Windsor is a very dense development. I mean, the homes are very close. And in speaking with Mr. Limer before the hearing, his existing setbacks, well, this proposed home will actually have greater setbacks than the existing home that's on the property. I don't have an as-built survey of what's there right now, but basically that's what he's informed me. So based on that, I believe that the variance is justified. This is going to be in conformity with basically what's been done there, and we would ask your approval of this variance. And for the record, is everything I just stated true and correct?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Okay.
Gentlemen, if you have any questions, we'll try to answer them.
Are there any questions from members of the board, Mr. Hudson?
No, I don't.
Okay. Mr. Rickard?
Mr. Fuqua, why he's got a 30-foot wide residence and garage, is that correct? 30 foot, both of them. I mean, that's what it encompasses, 16 and 2, 14 and 26 and 4.
30.4.
Right, 30.4. And then he's got, what did you say he wants? He's using the 13.5 for parking? Is that what he's using it for instead of the 5 feet?
It'd be landscaping and parking. And again, my observation, and if you look at that, if you look at that aerial photograph, when I drove down Tyler Avenue, a lot of those homes, it is only a 5-foot setback requirement for the front. And a lot of those homes are very close to that road. I mean, 5 feet is not a lot of distance. And somebody going, I mean, it crossed my mind, somebody going down that road, if you, you know, made a little wrong move, it'd be easy right into a home there. I mean, it's that close. So I don't think it's safe being 5 foot. I understand this is a older development and that's what it is, but I certainly think being further back is advisable.
I believe it was a mobile home park, and planning and zoning made it an AR1, which gave them a average of 5 feet in the front because there were so much. A lot of the people were figuring the front was at the lagoon. And based on that, I believe planning and zoning, and that same thing with Swan Keys, they made a 5, 10, and 20 requirement because there have been too many, adjustments there.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the Exhibit B, which is just the kind of blow-up of that aerial photo, I think you can see that there's a variety of parking going on there. Some of it is stacked on the sides. Mm-hmm. Some of it is in the front with a greater setback. And you can see it's a mixture of different types of parking. Mm-hmm. But quite honestly, I believe having a landscaping area and parking in the front is probably the most useful and logical manner of parking there.
So you couldn't park on the side, right?
The if you parked on the in the 10-foot setback, which is parking, I guess parking's permitted in the 10-foot setback, Lawrence, on the side yard?
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, but again, it would result in stacked parking, which, you know, if you had two vehicles, one vehicle would have to be moved to move the other vehicle. Can it be done? Yeah. Is it the most advantageous way to park? No.
Because that would have solved the 5-foot variance from the rear yard if he moved it up. Yeah. Okay.
Now, Mr. Rickard is correct. The administratively, back in the 60s and 70s, this was considered as far as setback requirements as a park, but it was all manufactured. And in the early 80s, mid 80s, I guess, we realized that you have to realize that this is actually fee simple lots. It's not a park where they lease lots, where a typical mobile home park would be. And we administratively said that this is a subdivision and you've got to abide by these setbacks. And the front is already established by average because the whole thing was developed. So the 5-foot setback is already established because of the original park rental type mobile home park setbacks were prevailed at that time. And we actually ended up with less variances coming before the board, even though you still see a lot, but less variance than we were getting with the park because you were having to do this 20-foot separation requirement. It was one of the variances you had to apply for. But they owned a lot, so it really wasn't a park, so we had to
historic
into reality and say it's a subdivision.
But historically, it has averaged a 5-foot setback in the front?
Right.
That's why it became a permanent 5-foot setback in the front?
And Swan Keys had the same issue, but theirs is actually 10.
There was another issue of the 35%, wasn't there?
And we didn't eliminate 35%.
35%.
So it was character of the community there that it was 5 feet in the front, at least that time.
At that time.
They may have a less variance coming before the board, even though if you look at the printout, you'll see a lot of variances still being granted because the lots are 50 by 100, 50 by 90, basically, sometimes 40. For one.
This one's 88. Is that right, Mr. Pifley? 88?
I'm sorry.
88? The depth of the lot?
I think it's 88 and a half.
Yeah, right. I see it here.
Yep. 88 and a half is the depth.
And Mr. Rickards, if I could restate my point, maybe I wasn't clear. The sliding this house back, obviously, normally where you're seeking a rear yard variance, the impact is going to be on your neighbor to the rear. Mm-hmm. You're going to be closer to his property than would be permitted. In this case, it's unique because there's a lagoon there, so there is no impact on anybody. The advantage, again, by moving the house back slightly in the front is, again, just from a safety point of view, you're further back from the road. From noise, you're further back from the road. And it does create a place where you can park vehicles, and it just logically makes sense. So that's the practical difficulty. To be forward, to interfere with the parking, to have a larger rear yard is less advantageous than the difficulties involved in on the applicant by moving it back. Anyway, I just think the advantages are greatly outweigh the anything to be gained from the required setbacks. Again, this was an evolving development. It was a mobile home park, and it's not a mobile home park anymore.
Okay, Mr. Becker, any further?
No, that's a good question.
Mr. Workman,
no questions.
And I have no further questions.
Got one.
Sure, sorry.
The rear of that property, has there been issues with flooding at all in the rear?
No, it's raised fairly high.
Elevated.
I think it was one of those original dig out the wetlands and fill it, and so it's fairly high. I don't know. You get flooding in there?
No, sir. Not in our area.
You're in a flood zone, though, right?
I assume just from the proximity of the water. But these the homes in there are not on. They meet the elevation requirements at the ground level.
Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I do think the one thing before you can hear a motion on this application, it's got to be substantially different from the one that came up, I believe, in November. Is that right?
That's food waste, David.
Yeah.
There's a...
Oh, okay.
There's a precedent that if you've had a Board of Adjustment application that's been ruled upon, then that's res judicata, it's been decided. So in order to have a subsequent application, there has to be some type of significant or substantial change. The original application that was filed, again, on the same lot, was requesting a variance on the south side, where we're requesting a 4.6-foot variance. That was requesting a variance of 4.4 feet for some improvements and 2.4 feet for other improvements. That application was also requesting a variance on the north side, which is the other side, of 5 foot, and then also requesting a 5 foot variance on the rear. So here, in redesigning the site, the home was reduced somewhat in size and shifted to the south. So the full 10-foot setback could be met on the north side, reducing the application to just the request on the one side and the rear.
And Mr. Chairman, the rest of the members of the board, I do have a copy of the application from November that, and the probably the easiest thing to look at is the actual survey, because there were, by my count, Mr. Fuquay can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 5 different variances. Some of them were very small, but
it was very busy. There was just a lot going on that
I remember it now. Yeah.
Okay, I do now. Thank you.
If anybody would like to look at it, I do have it.
I remember that now. Thank you, Doc. So then we deal.
All right. Mr. Craig, I got one question to ask. Is most of the homes pushed to the left in there? You know,
it's hard to tell exactly, but that was my impression, that everything seemed to be sliding to the left. And again, I would say that in some of the decisions the board's made, the board has observed that, and I'm just quoting a findings of fact from the board. This was from a decision in 2011. It said most dwellings in the subdivision have a 5 foot side yard setback. When I drove down, I only drove down Tyler Avenue, but that seemed to be the case to me, because you could tell the way the grass was cut different, or some places there were fences, and things seemed to be more to the south.
And that's what he did this time. He moved it to the left.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Okay. Then we need a motion then. There'll be two motions then on this amendment. One.
Yeah, if first thing is determine whether it's substantially different, and the second is whether, you know, what you wish to do with it.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that case number 11,190 is substantially different from the application that was presented in November of last year.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Hudson, a second by Mr. Rickard, that case number 11,190 is different from the one that was presented in November. Okay, all those in favor? No, we'll get down to the roll call. So all those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Yeah, Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Aye, Mr. Callaway. So by a vote of 5-0, the motion is approved on case number 11,190 of being substantially different.
Right.
Okay. Now, Chair will entertain a motion then. Case.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11,190. I believe the applicant has answered the standards for granting a variance. There's certainly uniqueness to the property at 50 foot wide and 88.5 feet deep. And the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. And the hardship hasn't been created by the applicant because of the size of the lot. And the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. That's been stated by the applicant. And the request of the variance is a minimum that will afford relief.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Lippers. Second by Mr. Workman, that we approve case number 11,190. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Worker?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for the reasons that were stated.
Aye, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, Case number 11,190 is approved.
Thank you, John.